In today's gospel that Deacon Paul just read, the Lord heals a blind man and helps him to see with an entirely new level of light, the light of truth. And there's this constant play going on in this gospel passage between physical sight and a deeper sight, between physical light and a deeper light. And it moves amongst those things, those pairs throughout the whole passage. And this light shines on everyone involved in the story, because that light is Christ. And is this gospel all about a miracle? No. There's 41 verses that Deacon Paul just read. I think there's two verses, three maybe at the most, that refer to the miracle itself. It's because what John really wants to describe is not just a miracle, but rather the process of faith. How faith comes about in our lives. In the beginning of the story, all are blind, even those who think they can see. And in the end, only one is cured, and the rest are still blind. The blind man steps into the light when he confesses his faith. He says, "I believe in you, Lord." On the other hand, the Jews are thrown into darkness when they condemn the Lord, and they say Jesus is a sinner. And you know, no matter who we are, we are all in a place of darkness and gloom. We have doubts about faith. We experience loneliness and disorientation, and we seek an answer, but our ideas are still confused. And the man born blind not only received the gift of sight, but he also received an opportunity to see that Jesus had been sent by the Father and had the power of God to heal. And he is the witness of that miracle. Now, the disciples thought his blindness, that the blind man's blindness, was due to either his sin or the sin of his parents. Jesus corrects them and says no. His healing was to show God at work. The Pharisees showed how blind they were to the will of God. They wanted to condemn Jesus as a sinner for breaking the Sabbath, because that was the way they saw their world, was through the interpretation of the law of Moses and everything. But the blind man's healing was to show God working. And the Pharisees couldn't accept that. And that's why they cast him out of the temple. And then what happens? Jesus goes looking for him and gave him the opportunity to believe in him as Messiah. And he accepted that gift wholeheartedly. Our Lord had not just restored his sight, he had given him the light to see salvation and the need to give witness to it. And don't let the fact that Jesus went looking for him slip by you. That's a very important point in this whole passage. Why? Because we think we save ourselves. Or we say, well, I know faith is a gift and I can't do it myself, but I do most of it, and that's not true. Jesus comes looking for us. That's how faith comes to us. Jesus comes looking for us just as he went looking for that blind man after he cured him for his physical sight. Jesus comes looking for you and for me. He constantly comes looking for you and for me. We are all here today because Jesus came looking for us, and we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe our wife or maybe our mother told us we had to come. But nevertheless, we are here because we follow the promptings of the Spirit that come looking for us. And our job is to open our ears, open our hearts, to receive those promptings of the Holy Spirit and to follow them. And you know, at our baptism, when each one of us was baptized, if we've been baptized already, we received the candle, and as the deacon or priest baptizes, says, "Receive the light of Christ," as he hands that candle to the godparent. And this candle is lit from the Easter candle, which is right now right over there where the old baptistry still is. That's the Easter candle from last Easter. And that Easter candle represents the light of Christ that's been transmitted to us through our baptism. And at every Easter vigil, we bless the Easter candle. That's how we begin the ceremony, really, in the front door of the church with a new fire and then lighting the Easter candle. And then as the candle is brought up, everyone in church has a taper, a little candle that they light from that main light, and the whole church is then thrown into light instead of darkness, because that represents Jesus, the light of the world. And at the Easter vigil, what will happen is that we will baptize some new people into the faith, and the rest of us will renew our baptismal promises with lit candles. At the Easter Sunday Masses, we will also renew our baptismal promises at the Mass, but we won't have lit candles, but we still do that. And these promises, that is, when we renew our baptismal promises, they show clearly. It's very clear what we promise. There's no wishy-washy stuff here. It's very, very, very clear. They show clearly the line between the light of Christ and the darkness of Satan and the world. It's a clear distinction between the light of Christ and the darkness of the world. Because those questions are, do you reject Satan and all his works? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? Those are some promises to make. And it's up to each one of us to decide to renew those promises or not. In the gospel for today, our Lord had not just restored physical sight, but he'd given that man the light to see salvation at his doorstep and the need to give witness to it. So, thinking about all this, thinking about each one of our lives, are you more like the Pharisees or more like the man born blind? What does Jesus see in your heart? And during this Lent, are you opening your heart through prayer and penance so that you can follow Jesus as a better disciple? And we'll continue our liturgy now with the scrutiny.